had been in place, Tracy may not have been riding her bike down 14th Street. If a bike box was at 14th and Burnside, she may not have been killed by a cement truck 5 months ago. Excuse me. I cannot bring Tracy back, but I can try to prevent this nightmare from happening to other families like ours. No new taxes will be required to pay for this project. $5 million of the funds are earmarked for capacity projects like this one, and none of that $5 million in funding can be utilized in any road repairs and maintenance this city desperately needs. Exponentially greater numbers of pedestrians and bicyclists will be protected by this larger bridge than just a standard 12-foot PEDE bike bridge. Many of Tracy's friends, classmates, and coworkers would be able to take advantage of a Flanders Street bridge like this. Traffic flow will improve on Burnside, Cooch, Everett, and Glisson with the absence of pedestrians and cyclists in the mix of city motorists and highway on-ramp drivers. Preserving the Savi Island Bridge in this manner would be the ultimate in reuse and solidify the green reputation of this city and this state. Projects that refurbish city structures, maintain the history and soul of this town, and promote its livability and desirability. Tracy loved Portland. Let's continue to make it a city to love. Thank you.
Thank you. Dennis Wild, Scott Bricker, Jay Graves. And that's the end of the invited testimony.
My name is Dennis Wild with Girding Edeland Development. Do you want our address?
No.
Okay. We're a real estate developer here in Portland. We're in the process of redeveloping the old Myron Frank warehouse at 14th and Everett, which also fronts on Flanders Street immediately adjacent to the proposed location for the bridge. And we're here to support the relocation of the Savi Island Bridge. We think it would be a wonderful, iconic element to bring to Portland, and it certainly has captivated the attention and interest of a lot of people that I don't think a narrow concrete pedestrian span would achieve. And I think that there's a significant importance that we need to recognize there because, as I understand, there's very little financial support to do a pedestrian crossing. What has even brought this whole issue to the surface is the fact that there's a potential to recycle this bridge span. And so I think without the magic of that potential, we wouldn't be even talking about a pedestrian bikeway across 405. And as others have testified, both Everett and Gleason are mean crossings and really not pedestrian friendly. Finally, I think that, this may cost a little more, but I think there's a heck of a lot more value added in terms of what we will have and what we'll achieve as a city if we accomplish this. And I won't recapitulate all of the reasons in terms of recycle and reuse that have already been mentioned. I think those are obviously part of the legacy that as a city we want to leave. Lastly, I think there's a real value in the whole notion of keeping Portland weird, and this certainly plays into that. And I don't think we can undersell or undervalue the importance of maintaining an identity around Portland that has some mystique to it, that draws people to come and see what is this magic called Portland. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Scott Bricker. I'm the Executive Director of the Bicycle Transportation Alliance. Thanks for having me today, and I also want to recognize Commissioner Stanton for the service. The Bicycle Transportation Alliance has supported this project. In fact, my past boss, Catherine Charlo, testified earlier for many years for reasons that we've already heard today. The BTA has recognized for the last 4 years that our primary strategy to move bicyclists is to increase the number of low-traffic facilities, that people do not feel comfortable riding bicycles in traffic. Riding bicycles, I ride my stepdaughter to school every day in Northwest Portland. I won't take her on Everett. I won't take her on Gleason. Johnson is our route. There is no safe crossing I could take my stepdaughter on from Johnson to Burnside. There's no way for me to travel with her. Downtown has been recognized as a top barrier for people who want a bicycle in our town. And it's actually interesting because in the last about year, we moved our offices into Old Town, and we've been working with some folks in the Old Town and Pearl area. There's actually this vision that's surfacing of having Northwest Portland being one of the best bicycling districts in the nation. There are many low traffic streets already there, Flanders being a primary one. It's flat, it's dense, it's grid network. The opportunities are huge. In the process, the Burnside-Cooch planning process, Flanders was identified as the primary bicycle boulevard because of crossing 405, which we've already identified as the top barrier. However, today, Davis safely crosses NATO and connects to the river. And so with this project, we will want to complete the Flanders Bridge. But with this project, when this is complete, people from around Portland today will be able to safely access the entirety of Northwest Portland. This would put into effect a bicycle route at the end of this year that would be accessible using the bicycle freeway ring road of Portland by the end of this year. And the issue of cost is actually something about the bicycle freeway ring road. Maybe a number of years ago, the Portland City Council had to make a tough decision of whether they would build a floating walkway, the Vera Katz Esplanade, whether we would spend the money and invest in a project that seemed like it was an outrageous amount of money for just bicycles and pedestrians. And today, that project, that facility is not only completely at capacity, but it is one of the landmark projects of Portland. It is the project that employees every day use, that commuters every day use, that people come from around the country when they're staying at downtown hotels and have the 3-mile loop to be able to walk around. The $30-plus million project has absolutely panned out and paid off for the city. This project has the same potential. This project, maybe spend another $1 or $2 million, has the potential of being a landmark project for the city of Portland, and it requires the leadership of the city council to take that on today. A 30-foot-wide facility would enable bicycles and pedestrians to move freely and people to gather. It would be a facility that not only is a transportation corridor for my family, but a place where we might be able to have even a European-styled experience. And in Oregon, where 1 out of every 9 jobs is a tourism-based job, having reasons to bring people to our area, to our community, to see how we reuse this project, drawing more conferences and folks here, it is worth the extra $2 million, and we will get the project done this year. I think that this is a visionary project that has the whole entire community excited, and it would really, I think, be a shame to miss this opportunity. With some leadership today, perhaps bold leadership, there's an opportunity to build a project that we might never be able to see again. The window for this project is closing, and fast. And I really hope that we can get this project completed and funded, and I hope that you all vote yes today. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, my name is Jay Graves. I'm the owner of the Bike Gallery Stores, 6 neighborhood locations, 130 employees. I'm also a Cycle Oregon founding board member and current board member, and I'm an Oregon State Parks Commissioner. I urge you to consider using the Salvi Island Bridge in this project. When I woke up this morning, I wasn't going to come testify. I thought, all right, they've got a funding issue they need to figure out. And then when I read in the paper that what is being considered is a 15-foot bridge, I thought, don't make a mistake. Don't spend nearly $4 million on a mistake, because 15-foot wide is not going to last us very long at all. If you'd ridden the Hawthorne Bridge before the BTA got the bridges, the sidewalks widened, you would understand what I'm talking about. There is a huge difference between a 15-foot bridge and a 30-foot bridge in terms of capacity. The city has seen a 64% increase in bike commuters, people using their bikes for transportation, in just the last 3 years alone. We spend less than 1% of our PDOT dollars on bicycle facilities, and yet 6% of trips are taken with bicycle trips. Shimano America did a survey a couple of years ago. They spent $250,000 talking to just regular people out in the street, not enthusiasts like myself. And what they found is the number one concern is safe places to ride. Having lost a coworker to a cycling death last year, I urge you to give us safe places. Give all of the city safe places to ride our bikes. Because if that 15-foot bridge you're talking about building gets overcrowded, then cyclists are going to start heading over to Gleason and Everett, and it's dangerous with those freeway on-ramps on those two streets. Give us a safe place to ride, and let us continue to make Portland proud. Thank you.
You have a sign-up sheet?
We do. We have 8 people.
Okay, please call the first 3.
Chris Smith, Jim Kennett, and John Reinhold. They'll be followed by Jeannie Harrison, John Hirsch, and Carl Rond.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record, and you each have 3 minutes.
Good morning. Chris Smith, Mayor Potter, members of council. Let me start by thanking and congratulating Commissioner Sten for all his achievements over his service on council for these dozen years. Interesting piece of history. The first transportation advocacy project I ever worked on was just after I joined the Northwest District Association and worked on the Northwest Bikeways Plan with Roger Geller. So this has some significance for me in terms of my personal history as a transportation advocate. And even then, one of the places the neighborhood pushed back on that plan and asked the city to modify it was to terminate the bike lanes on 16th, well short of this area, because it was simply judged not safe to have bikes mixing in the environment around 16th, Everett, and Gleason. And that's why that bike lane stops well before that point. This is a tremendous safety improvement. I generally use the route that Kim outlined before to get downtown, 19th to Alder. When I do have to go down into the Pearl, I will sometimes use Everett, but there is a tremendous right hook danger on both Everett and Gleason because of the freeway entrances, and I typically don't use Gleason at all. I really think this is one of those defining moments for Portland. This is a decision about, one, whether we will walk our talk on sustainability and promote an ethic of reuse, but perhaps more importantly about whether we will build simply adequate bicycle and pedestrian facilities or whether we will build great bicycle and pedestrian facilities. And I think we have seen that every time we have built those great facilities, as has been talked about on the Hawthorne Bridge, on the Esplanade, we are rewarded with throngs of cyclists making that part of their daily commute pattern. We have such an opportunity in Northwest Portland. We should not let it go by. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jim Kennett, a Northwest Portland resident. I'm also the director and founder of the Northwest Portland International Hostel, which is located 3 blocks from the proposed bridge. And yes, I'm excited about the relocation of the Savvy Island Bridge for all the obvious reasons. The reuse of a historic bridge versus building new, the green reasons, helping the environment, creating a wider bridge that can handle the busy bike and walking traffic in Northwest, and the importance of an east and west, east-west bike and walking route through Portland's busiest and densest neighborhoods, and reconnecting the Northwest neighborhood and the Pearl, and that this project is the Portland way to do things, where quality of life often comes before the bottom line. But today, I'm here to represent the International Youth Hostel, located on Northwest 18th between Flanders and Gleason. The hostel provides over 26,000 overnight stays per year. We provide low-cost, quality overnight lodging to visitors to our city. From Girl Scout troops and school groups to college-age backpackers from over 70 countries to families and touring bicyclists. Every day, as many as 126 visitors are setting out from our hostel on Northwest 18th to explore our city. And most of them will make their way down to Gleason or Everett en route to the Pearl, downtown, Amtrak Greyhound, Portland attractions, and the riverfront. They might be 10 young girls and a scout leader, touring cyclists beginning a cross-country journey, or three college grads from Germany, Australia, and Japan. Just three blocks into their journey, they will face two freeway on-ramps, a major two-lane one-way street crossing I-405, that would be either Gleason or Everett, with a sidewalk only on one side. If they happen to be not fully alert or confused by foreign traffic patterns, they might find themselves crossing I-405 on a one-foot-wide curb, and at the other end face a freeway on or off ramp with no signal or crosswalk to assist them. What a difference a wide, historic, recycled bike and pedestrian bridge will make. For the safety of our visitors, whether from Washington State or halfway around the world, and our own residents, this project must go through. Lastly, I have joined that committee that will help raise the additional $500,000, and my hostel is pledging $2,000. When I see the people who have signed up on that committee and the community support, I believe we can raise that money. So please support this project and continue the quality of life in Portland. Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor Potter and City Council members. My name is John Reinhold. I live in Southeast Portland. I'd first like to thank you for being here and especially thank Commissioner Stinn for your years of service. I'm here to voice my support for the reuse of the Salvi Island Bridge on the Flanders Bike Boulevard. It has been mentioned many times, the issues of safety, the issues of cost, the issues of iconic nature. And what I wanted to bring to the table is to mention the fact that Portland is becoming known nationally as kind of an epicenter of sustainability, as a kind of an iconic city in North America with regards to finding a way to move into the future. And I know this as I travel around the country, and people I meet to find out I'm from Portland, they say, oh yes, I went there and I just loved walking around downtown. The streets were so friendly and the blocks were small, and it becomes something that people have really known the city for. Just anecdotally, I myself am just one person, but I know two people who are traveling to Portland this summer on a bicycle vacation. I don't know of many other places where people go to travel just to ride your bicycle around. So I'd like to bring up the comment that other people have mentioned as well, is that economically, I think this makes good sense for the city of Portland. Something like this could very well end up on postcards. It could end up in calendar photos. It's something that you don't see every day in an urban situation crossing a freeway, and it's something that I believe photographs of people mingling on the bridge with that nice old-fashioned steel architecture with the cityscape behind it, I think would be something that we're bound to see alongside very many other pictures of Portland's skylines and riverfront. I also would like to mention that I live very close to the pedestrian and bicycle crossing over Powell at Southeast 9th, and I don't think anybody's ever taken a picture of that except maybe to report the graffiti on the side. So I'd like to impress upon council members and Mr. Mayor that as a city that is starting to become nationally known and internationally known, it's very important to make sure that we think about the long term, the long tail of the choices that we make. Building yet another boring concrete overpass is not something that will move Portland into an international community of alternative transportation choices.
The next three are Gene Harrison, John Hirsch, and Carl Rond. They'll be followed by Sharon Wood Wantman and Kevin Colt.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, state your name for the record. You each have 3 minutes.
Good morning, Mayor Potter, commissioners. I'm Jean Harrison. I'm a Northwest resident, and I used the various ways of getting from Northwest Portland to downtown as I commuted on foot for over 20 years, as probably some of you know. Today I'm here representing the Willamette Pedestrian Coalition. I'm a member of the board. I'm also a member of the ad hoc committee that's looking at ways to raise funding. I wanted to state that the Willamette Pedestrian Coalition is very supportive of using the Sauvie Island Bridge. This has got us very excited. We think it will be so much safer than a 15-foot span. On a personal note, I have crossed the freeway just about every way you can, and I've also gone up in a canopy walk in Peru. And let me tell you, crossing Gleason or Cooch or Everett is a lot scarier. I've had several near misses. I've seen other people run across the ramps. You can't tell when cars are coming from behind you. It's definitely not safe. We support the whole idea of the sustainability of reusing something that would otherwise go to scrap. I mean, that just doesn't make sense in this day and age. I'd also like to say that, as you can see, I've got a bike pin on today. I also bike, but I don't bike much. And part of the reason is I don't feel like I can get out of my neighborhood. It's just not safe. I bike to work once a year when I was working on bike to work day, and that's because my husband would guide me downtown. I wouldn't do it alone. I think this will make a huge difference in the number of people both walking and biking from Northwest Portland into the Pearl and into downtown. And I urge you to vote for this. Thank you.
Morning. My name is John Hirsch. I'm a resident of the Pearl and a member of the Pearl District Neighborhood Association. I'm also an organizational consultant that specializes in organizational effectiveness and leadership coaching. In my practice, when companies hire me to move them from being good to great, I often talk to leaders about building on what is great about their current companies and having a vision for the future to improve what brought them where they are and to take prudent risk. In this situation, I think what has made Portland great in part is honoring and preserving history, respecting the environment, and connecting communities. Unlike other communities, Portland has done all this with flair, with style. If you go to Crystal City or Toledo, where I was born, they're just names on a map. Portland has done things in style, and I believe the Sauvie Island Bridge will fit the culture of Portland, will reflect on what has made Portland great. And I urge you to take intelligent risk and vote for style, flair, and functionality. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Carl Rohde. Let me begin by bidding farewell to Commissioner Sten and how much I enjoyed the collaborative relationship we enjoyed as the two youngest elected officials in the region for a small window of time.
But we're turning that over to Commissioner Adams now.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not so young.
I am here not only in my role as the Government Relations and Public Affairs Director for the Bicycle Transportation Alliance, but also as a native of the Portland region and a resident of the Pearl District now. I was around when the Fremont Bridge was raised into place, and the reason why it was the kind of bridge that it is because the people of Portland said, we don't want another Markham Bridge crossing the Willamette River. Nobody's out taking iconic pictures of Portland with the Markham Bridge in the background. It's the Fremont Bridge. This city has acted in ways that has moved it ahead of the page of the rest of the country. We decided that the site of the old Oregon Hotel was highest and best use of that site was not as a parking garage, but in fact as an urban park that is now referred to as Portland's living room. Metro decided that it was better to rehabilitate the old Sears store instead of tearing it down. Multnomah County Library was refurbished as an iconic part of downtown instead of being torn down and building something new, which probably would have been cheaper. The building that we're in today, there were people saying we should just tear this building down and build something cheaper, but instead we made the bold move to refurbish this building, which is, again, an iconic part of Portland's downtown. The freeways tore neighborhoods apart throughout Portland. This project has an opportunity to sew one back together. I have never known this area not to be in some sort of financial crisis. It's just always been the case. But even in times of far greater financial crisis than we find ourselves in today, bold leaders have stepped forward and said, we have a future to look at. People talked about, well, what about the children? Well, to quote Teddy Roosevelt, who established the National Park System and was asked that same question, his response was, I am thinking about the children in the womb of time. Do this for the children in the womb of time in Portland. Thank you.
Our last two are Sharon Wood Wantman and Kevin Colt.
Can you speak? Please state your name for the record. You each have 3 minutes.
Go ahead. My name is Sharon Wood Wortman, W-O-R-T-M-A-N. I write badly. So thank you for hearing this today, and thank you, Eric Sten, for your long service. I've prepared some notes because I'm not very good at memory anymore, and there are some points I want to make. I am a bridge advocate. I find myself with that title as a result of writing several books about our bridges, 3 editions, and I am a new member of a new group called the Friends of Multnomah County's Willamette River Bridges. Notice the absence of Portland's name in there. It's because, for those in the audience that don't know, and I'm sure there are a few of you, the bridges of the Willamette River are not a concern of the city. But the city has stepped up in its bridge program. I admire very much your East Bank Esplanade and that truss bridge along there. And I really admire the way the city fought for that $2.5 million sidewalk on the bottom deck of the steel bridge. So this is another chance for you to be in the bridge game. I want to point out there are 2 kinds of highway bridges. There are steel bridges and there are concrete bridges. Portland is a steel bridge city. And more than that, we are a portal steel bridge city. And those are the kind of bridges that you drive through, very much like the Oregon Coast bridges. I think it's wrong to scrap the Savi Island Bridge, and I don't have to repeat anything of all the wonderful comments that have been well said before me. But one question I have is, why are bridges seen differently than buildings? Any one of our river bridges is used by more people every day than any single building in Portland. When we wrote the second edition of the Portland Bridge book, published in 2001, we noted there were a little bit more than 200 truss bridges remaining in the whole state of Oregon. When we published the third edition in December of 2006, we are down to 160 truss bridges. They're an endangered species. We are losing them every day. And I get emails every day from groups across the United States working hard to save our truss bridges. So this goes way beyond Portland. People are looking at us to see what we're going to do with that Savi Island Bridge. And once they're gone, they're gone. There are groups like the Historic Bridge Alliance, the Historic Bridge Foundation, and there's even a National Historic Bridge Program I'm sure you've heard about, and Save America's Treasures Funds. These are considered an American treasure. This just isn't a Portland treasure. This is an American treasure. It's an Oregon treasure. I'm almost done. I want to clarify there have been errors in the newspaper reports about the Savi Island Bridge's cracking. The Savi Island Bridge is not cracked. The approach concrete, okay? Mr. Olonge took care of that. Thank you. I urge you, and Sam Adams in particular, thank you for moving this project forward. It will identify this council's public service in the future by your efforts on behalf of the Flanders Street Bridge. It's symbolic of how we do things here. I brought a $100 check today. If the citizens of this town need to step up, count me in. I just need to know who will be, who do I make the check out to. And there will be others like me, and there will be more of these. And last, I want to say what I do for a living in this city is take third graders bridge walking, 60 at a time. And I don't want to take them walking on a concrete bridge. Thank you.
Well, she's so much more elegant than me. Hi, Kevin Peter Colt, Pete Colt. Pedestrian Pete, to those of you who know me. This morning I left 221 Northwest Everett, which is at the corner of Northwest 18th and Northwest Everett. And I walked up to the VA, where I got some good news from my doctor. And I walked back down here. So that's why one reason they call me Pedestrian Pete. I'm all for the bridge, for all the reasons everybody has said, but and for reasons that you guys know. My neighborhood in a 400 by 600 foot area is intense with children. We have the Children's Theater. We have Cathedral School. We have the Cathedral, St. Mary's. We have Trinity Episcopal. We have the Metropolitan Learning Center. And by the way, guys, at the fifth grade level, they're allowed off campus, which is very shocking in that neighborhood with everything going on. All of this compressed down, Everett and Glisson are hell streets. We all know this. One of the things this bridge will do is get bicyclists off our three-foot sidewalks on Everett and Glisson, because there are lots of conflicts going on as the bicyclists, with no place to go on the bridges on Everett and Glisson, are forced up onto the sidewalk and then, in a natural state of mind, continue on that way. Oh, by the way, I should clarify, I'm not here as the chair pro tem of the Northwest District Association Public Safety Committee, so I should always say that. The other thing I want to say about my neighborhood, Alphabet District, is this. It's what city planners call a complete community. That means that somebody can be born in my neighborhood, grow up, go to school. You know, people are leaving the Pearl, like I talked about last time I was here, and for the same amount of money they're paying to live in the Pearl, they can live in my neighborhood in a house with a yard and a bathroom and three bedrooms. Okay, people can grow up here, they can go to school in my neighborhood, they can marry, they can raise a family of their own, and when their kids have kids of their own, their grandkids can walk to see grandma and grandpa. This is what we're trying to really keep and make better in our neighborhood. We want to make it safe. This is our goal. The other thing is that business people are smart. They use leverage. And so we have this little tiny amount of money that we need to finish this project, and the business community is going to step up to the plate. I have to say this. I looked at that chart. I saw millions of dollars coming from the taxpayers. I think the taxpayers should have the ability to name that. And since I have the microphone right now, and since you, Mr. Sten, have been on the council forever, and you've done so many things for Portland and built so many bridges, I say I'd like to nominate, this should be called, the Eric Sten Urban Esplanade. Thank you.
Is that it?
That's all who signed up.
That can't be the last word.
Please call the vote.
Adams?
Well, I want to thank the community for their testimony. It was very eloquent. And I want to thank my staff and the staff at PDOT for working on this issue, including also we've had some borrowed help from the community, from a variety of people, PDC. Thank you. Aye.
Leonard.
Well, in addition to the bridge that former Mayor Clark pointed out was reused, I want to remind those in the audience that the original Burnside Bridge that was built in 1894 was a three-piece steel truss bridge from the east to the west side. In 1926, when it was replaced, one of the three spans was sold to Aberdeen, Washington. One of the spans was deconstructed and reinstalled over the Sandy River at Dodge Park, where it exists today. And the third span was, have I got my history right?
You're doing
great. Okay. My third, I was nervous when you identified yourself. Oh, I hope I have this right. The third. The third span was deconstructed and installed over the Bull Run River at the PGE Waterhouse as you go up to the Bull Run. So what's fascinating for me when I take the tour, which I do regularly with guests, to Bull Run, we stop at the first span at the PGE Waterhouse, and I get out, and we look down the Bull Run River. And I point out to them that the bridge that we are standing on, looking out on, was the, I don't know if it was actually the original Burnside Bridge, but certainly was built in 1894, if not the original, certainly shortly after the original. And it brings the oohs and ahs that Patricia Gardner described, which I identified with this kind of connection to the soul of the city. I also think it was correct to point out what appears to possibly be a paradox between how we consider historic buildings in Portland versus some of the bridges. I don't think the debate here, by the way, has anything to do with whether or not there should be a bridge over Flanders. I mean, I don't think anybody on this side of the dais is arguing whether or not we should have a bridge. I mean, safety issues and all of the issues rightfully identified, I think there's unanimity in agreement on our side need to be addressed with the bridge. I think the issue needs to be framed as to whether or not it should be this particular bridge at Sully Island or a concrete bridge that's built. So from that perspective, I believe that this city in the 50s and the 60s made huge errors in not recognizing that some of the historic structures that are now gone forever and replaced with often concrete parking lots and certainly unattractive buildings was a huge, huge mistake that we can never recover from. Fortunately, in the 70s, we had leadership here on the council that recognized that and put a stop to it. And to this day, we certainly enjoy that the results of that decision with some of the historic buildings we have. And also, let's also be clear that the development community doesn't really appreciate that those kinds of preservation, not all the development communities, some of the development, those kind of preservation efforts, it's exponentially more expensive to take an existing older building that was built in another era with much more relaxed codes and upgrade it to today's standards, earthquake proofing and whatnot, sprinklering, certainly electrical wiring. It's much more expensive to retrofit a building than it is just to remove it and replace it with a newer building. But the reason we do that is because we connect ourselves with our history when we do that. This project is that to me. It is, and for those on this side of the dais who have raised concerns about the cost, that's an appropriate concern to raise. That's something that we have to do. That's part of our due diligence. And to not have that debate, I think, would be wrong. But I think we also need in that debate to consider what it is that we're getting for the extra money that it's going to cost us. And what we're getting, again, I'll hearken back to, I think Patricia Gardner Moore got to kind of where I was at, where I've been at on this project. You have a project that inspires people. You have a project, I mean, we have people here pulling their checkbooks out. We have people here saying they're going to go out and fundraise. That just doesn't happen on a typical project in Portland. And I think if for no other reason, it's a great community building project that for a variety of reasons, I think is the right thing for Portland to do. And so I appreciate the discussion and the testimony, but for me, I mean, I never had a moment doubt when Sam first presented this to me. I thought it was a great idea, a great project, and I'm pleased to support it.
Saltzman.
Well, I think, as Commissioner Leonard just said, this isn't a debate about a crossing. I think we all want to see a crossing there. And I think the Sylvia Island Bridge would truly be iconic, and I'd like to see that happen. But I also know if we do it under this contract, it would be iconic in another way. It would be the largest sole source contract ever awarded by the city in its history. And that is not the way we do business. You know, we are bound to our taxpayers, to our community, our construction community, to go out and seek bids to do the work. And there's a very high bar to meet to do a sole source contract, to just give it to one firm without testing the market to see if there's better pricing out there to move the bridge and to reinstall the bridge. And we're not doing that. We're doing this as a sole source contract, as I said, the largest in the city's history, and I simply cannot support that. We have to test the market. Now, there's a lot of circular arguments about Cooney, the construction company, owns the bridge, therefore they meet the sole source criteria because they own the bridge, therefore we have to hire them. Given the uncertainties about the cost of this project, the last position I want to be in is having a contractor feeling like they've got us over the barrel. And, you know, when this bridge is moving down 405 and suddenly the cost escalated, you know, $5 to $7 million project, and suddenly they've got us, you know, we're going to be coming back here and we're going to be tapping into general fund contingency to finish this project. And we don't know what it's going to be. It may be $5 million, it may be $7 million. It could be greater. And that's why you test the market. And so I would recommend that PDOT, Commissioner Adams, enter in discussions with Cooney about purchasing the bridge, why we didn't purchase it for a dollar. I mean, that baffles me to this day. We could have had this for a dollar and then done a fair bidding process. Go back to Cooney, let them know the council is not prepared to enter into a sole source contract. See if they'll sell us the bridge. You know, I'm sure they'd probably consider an offer somewhere above what the scrap value is of that bridge. And then let's put it out to bid. Who can move it and install it at the least responsible cost? So I vote no.
Stan.
Well, I was a little bit torn on this. We did talk a little bit about this on the PDC budget committee that I chaired, and that's $2 million, but it really didn't get the kind of focus it needs. But as I've listened today and heard both the vision from many of you and the need, I think the need is obvious to get a safer way to get through. A safer way could be accomplished for less money, and I would agree with Commissioner Saltzman that this holds some risk. I'm convinced, however, though, that the vision is the right one, and it's something that I believe will it's interesting. I remember when Mayor Katz said, this is my historical day, right? But I remember Mayor Katz said something like the tram is going to be in postcards. And everybody kind of jumped on that and made fun of her for saying that. It's actually true. It's going to be in postcards. And I think this is another type of place. And I'm saying that on purpose because I think Commissioner Sam Adams, who brought the tram in after all of that mess, knows how to handle this on budget and is setting up a process despite the concerns, which I think are valid, raised by Commissioner Saltzman to make sure we don't get into something like that. I also think this is although there's still work to be done, there's a lot less that can go wrong, I think. This could be famous last words, too, on putting a bridge in place than building a tram that nobody's ever built in their life. People have moved these kinds of structures and built foundations for them. And I think that it will cost a little bit more, but as is the case in every store in every world on every product, you get what you pay for. And I think if we pay a little bit more for this, we will get a lot better result. And I think in the long run, you have to be very careful with dollars, and I think this is a careful use of the dollars. And I think the incremental difference between this and the alternatives, one of which is unacceptable, which is a completely unsafe route that never gets fixed. And I was also really struck, I think it was Gene, but I'm not sure, who testified that if we actually do build the couplet, which we voted to do only if there's a streetcar, so we'll be advancing that type of transportation, will actually make worse by improving the streetcar stretch the actually more environmental way to get around than a streetcar, which is bicycling. So I think when you take the sum total of all of these things, this is an opportunity we ought to take. And when you have to take an opportunity quickly, you take some risk. But I am confident that Commissioner Adams can manage this. And I am struck that there's going to be about 6 weeks here where there's only four members. So 2-2 votes will get much more interesting. But today it's 3-2, I think. We'll see where the mayor goes. Aye.
Potter.
Portland is a large city, and there are a lot of different needs out there. A lot of our communities were incorporated into Portland in the mid-80s, and they didn't have streets or sidewalks, and many of those communities still don't. I think for myself and my vote, this is about how we prioritize spending for transportation issues in the city of Portland. And I think that this, as a priority for the city, doesn't raise to my level as a $5.5 million or $7 million bridge when I can also see how that money would be spent on paving and putting in sidewalks so that children can walk safely to school. There's a forced choices that we make on a council, and I can respect the other commissioners' priorities, but for my priority, I'd rather invest that money in sidewalks and safe ways to school, in paving streets, in reducing traffic congestion, and improving traffic safety throughout our entire city. So I advised earlier this week the council members of my concern about this, and I still have those same concerns. For that reason, I vote no.
So I'd like to move, I don't know how to do this. I'd like to move to remove the emergency clause.
As an emergency ordinance, it requires the unanimous approval of all the commissioners in attendance, and as a 3-2 vote, this would fail. In order to remove the prevailing parties in this vote are the commissioners who voted against it, and therefore they would have to move to amend at this point. And if there's no motion, then it fails.
Further? Please read item 434.
Authorize the administrator of the Portland Water Bureau to establish a loan program for water system development charges consistent with other city bureaus and establish rules for cost distribution for petition mains and fire hydrants constructed in the public right-of-way.
Commissioner Leonard?
Due to the lateness of the hour, I do have the administrator of the Water Bureau here, one of the engineers, if you want to ask questions. But basically, this is a program that will reflect what other city infrastructure bureaus are doing in terms of SDC charges and creating a loan system for those who have to pay SDC charges.
Was anybody going to speak to the issue? Or?
Well, I have them here to answer. They're prepared to talk if you'd like, but due to the lateness of it's 12:20.
Any commissioners' questions? Is there anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
No one signed up.
Okay. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 435.
Amend contract with Solar Oregon for continued solar energy education and community outreach services.
Commissioner Salzman.
Could you read 436, too? We can do them both at once.
Authorize the Office of Sustainable Development to enter into a no-cost memorandum of agreement with the U.S. Department of Energy and the National Renewable Energy Laboratory to receive technical assistance to further the market expansion of solar within the city.
Thank you, Mayor. These two items are part of our Solar Now campaign, which is funded in part by a $200,000 grant by the U.S. Department of Energy that the City Council accepted last October. The first item continues our partnership with Solar Oregon to provide community outreach and education. The second enables the Office of Sustainable Development to receive no-cost, in-kind technical services from experts at the national labs as part of the U.S. DOE grant, in addition to the cash award. If anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Otherwise, I'd urge
any
approval.
Questions from the commissioners on the two items? Anyone signed up to testify on these matters?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Call the vote on the first.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Call the second.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 437.
Amend contract with Pinch A Design Office to provide graphic design and related communication services to the Best Business Center.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. This contract is with a design firm to put together the Best Business Center website, which helps businesses to learn how to operate more sustainably.
Questions from commissioners? Is there anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Is it an increase in the amount?
No. This is an original contract. Actually, it does say contract amendment. Okay.
So is it an increase, or what's the amendment?
It looks like
an increase in the scope and the contract amount.
I think it's $17,500.
Yeah.
Okay. Other questions? Was there a sign-up sheet on this?
I did not have a sign-up sheet for this item.
Anyone here who wishes to testify to this matter? Call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
Mayor, can I have one point of personal privilege?
Yes, we're not done yet.
Oh, I thought we
go ahead. We had one pulled
From
the
great
consent,
after that,
item 426,
then.
And then please.
Okay.
426, authorized contract with Marina and Company, LLC, in the amount of $130,000 to provide residential solid waste and recycling rate review services.
This is a contract with a company that will help us do our rate making for residential solid waste.
Questions?
There's an amendment. Make it an emergency ordinance.
Did you have the emergency pulled?
I thought we had the emergency pulled.
It isn't an emergency. You wanted to amend it. They wanted to amend it to make it an emergency.
That's all right. Let's just do it first reading.
Okay, non-emergency, not amended.
Right.
Questions from commissioners?
We have the three votes next week.
Has it been put
this
up
is
to bid?
It'll move to a second.
Should I go for
second?
Should I go for emergency now?
Has it been put out to bid?
You can't win either way. Well, Mayor, I just I hadn't quite thought this would take as long, and the hearing started with a very touching, and I really appreciate it, a tribute to me, and thank you. And I actually wanted to separate it out, and since I think you may not be here this afternoon, and my last full council meeting, by ending it was the only place that I could have ever done anything, which is to thank my staff. They're here just about in their entirety, and this is the there's a lot of good staffs in the building, but in my opinion, the hardest working, most dedicated, and well, it's a tie, I guess, with a lot of your staffs. But these are folks who have, the vast majority of whom have actually been with me the entire time I've been on the council, and the folks who are not, who have moved on to other points of service. And I just wanted to, while I was on television, thank them and ask you to help me in thanking them, because I think nobody knows, the reason I wanted to do in these chambers is nobody knows better than my colleagues that all of our work is absolutely impossible without a good staff, and I've had a great one who I am privileged to count as both friends and colleagues, so I wanted to say that. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, and let's give
him a hand.
And I look forward to working with the staff and continuing all those good programs that you've initiated under the leadership of Commissioner Sten.
I forgot, you particularly see their value.
Yes. We're adjourned until 2 p.m.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Tom,
oh, sure. Oh, thank you. Oh, my pleasure. Yeah. I think we got one more this afternoon. So I got, we got the two. Yeah, I'll be here. You know, I thought the mayor might not be here. So.
Thank you.
I talked to it.
Eric, for Marty, I want to get a picture of you.
Yeah,
permanent.
Yeah.
Because you're 2012.
I don't think she wants the hat on.
Okay,
she told me that. Actually.
But, you know,
the other thing I was going to suggest to you to think about, Tori, is New Year leaves. And if you would consider assigning this project.
Oh, yes.
Here we go.
In my center, I will get built. It'll get built right.
Hey, Jamal, okay. Set it up for Jade. She's going to take one.
Okay.
Eric, we're going to do one.
That's just very tempting, actually.
No, honestly, I would love to
talk to Carmen.
Okay.
I want to get some information.
Pretty much.
Okay.
So,
it is in 2012.
You would
that's just not
focus
on the suppress halfway down.
And I'd actually heard it before.
You know how to do this?
As well. We met with him.
You probably could do it in the night.
You go through this long process.
No, put Eric in the middle. Get over here, Eric. Or stay right here.
You guys should just take over the whole place.
But even, I mean.
Eric, sit down. Sit down.
Put those in water.